Our special scripture this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, He has scattered abroad His gifts to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. Now, He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. We've gathered that we might be able to, from our very hearts and with very clear minds, understand what you have to say to us here today. We believe and we confess that in you and in this time that we've given to you is great blessing, and we anticipate it and we expect it. And we praise you for it. For as always, it is in Jesus' precious name that we've come together to your glory. It is in His name that we sing these praises. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Well, good morning again. Good to be here. Merry Christmas as always. I want to start by asking a few rhetorical questions this morning. Do you believe God's Word? Of course you do. I mean, we're going to read a story here in just a few minutes about John the Baptist's mom and dad, and it's important that we trust it, that we believe it. Do we believe, another step, do you believe that God Almighty has blessed you personally, massively? Do you believe that He wants to and yet intends to bless you even more than He already has? Do you believe that He is using you, the people around you? Do you believe He's using this church? Do you believe He's using your circumstances to bring about something awesome, something miraculous, something full of blessing? Do you believe that God Almighty is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Do you believe that the Lord is more than enough? These are important questions. It leads to another important question, one that's not so rhetorical. If we say, yes, I believe that. Have we lived like that this week? Have we lived like we believe God's enough? Have we lived like we believe God's Word? Have we lived like we believe that He's blessed us and intends to bless us even more in all these things? I believe, I'll tell you what I believe. I believe that God has done wondrous things in your midst and in the midst of the people that you care about in the last 4 days since we were last together. I believe that God Almighty has done wondrous things and awesome things in and through all of you since we were here 7 days ago. I believe that. But I also believe that a lot of what God is up to and what He does, we have a tendency to take for granted, to explain away, to describe as well. I don't know that that's really a God thing. That's just life. That's just normal. Sometimes we fall guilty to doing that very thing. Tell you what else I believe. I believe as a society in this nation, I believe as a church, just the people here at Cornerstone, if we were fully aware of all that God had done miraculously and all the ways that God had blessed us this week, if we were fully aware of all of the prayers that God Almighty has answered in the last 7 days, we'd be busting out and cramming in here just to sing praises to His glory. If we were fully aware of all that He's up to and all that He's done and just how good He's been to us, I believe that all the churches would be full. I believe we'd be just clamoring to share with somebody what God has done in my life this week. I believe this place would be packed, both services. Now, we don't say that to step on anybody's toes. What we want to do this morning, it's Christmas. That's good stuff. And we want to get in the right frame of mind for Christmas. We want to We want to recognize it for what it is biblically, and we want to recognize it for what it is to be in Christ this Christmas like never before. So with that in mind, I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. We're going to go from Luke chapter 1 this morning, and the heading in my Bible over verse 5 where we'll begin is the birth of John the Baptist foretold. We're going to see a couple of people, namely Zechariah and Elizabeth, who believed God's word, and they believed He was enough, and they believed He wanted to bless them. Beginning in verse 5, God's word says this: "In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well along in years. Once, when Zechariah's division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord.' Zechariah asked the angel, 'How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years.' The angel answered, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their proper time.' Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them, but remained unable to speak. When his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant, and for 5 months remained in seclusion. 'The Lord has done this for me,' she said, 'and these days he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people.'" And the Lord bless the reading of His Word. We went Christmas shopping one day this week. Knock on wood, I think we're ready. I think we're done. Okay, that's way ahead of schedule for us. But we went Christmas shopping, Courtney and I, and went down to the outlets and knocked out the last few things on our list and that sort of thing. And while we were there, I noticed a pattern, because there's plenty of people, as you can imagine, doing that very same thing. I noticed a pattern of people shopping, particularly the difference between the women and the men. See, the men have a tendency, and many of you have witnessed this, to find a bench somewhere and sit down. Okay, that's what we have a tendency to do. While the women, now we're talking laser-like focus on the task at hand. Beep, 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 beep. All right, we got to find it. We're going through all these racks, and we're looking for that just right gift for that just right person in every case. And it just seemed to be that's the way the men were doing, and that's the way the women were doing. And it revealed to me something about how we have a tendency to view and react to and relate to the Christmas season in general. We can fall into at least two traps. We can be altogether nonchalant about celebrating the coming of the Lord. You understand the word, the value of the words I just said, the magnitude of it. We can be too nonchalant about celebrating the coming of the Lord. We can just find a seat somewhere and watch everybody else do their thing and not really participate in it. Here, hold this. I get that a lot when we go shopping. Here, hold this. Take a backpack with me from now on, I think. The other thing is we can become so focused on the stuff there is to do, the schedule that is so full, that we become task-oriented toward all that and miss out on the true meaning. It's so easy to do. We often, too many of us, live life with a similar kind of focus as one of the women on a shopping mission, okay? We get so focused on everyday life, whether it's work or school. We can be so focused on the election or the news. We can be so focused on terrorism or football. We can be so focused on so many things that we're just missing out on the Lord's blessings that are right there in front of us. And that's not what God would have us to do. We can be so focused just on making ends meet. We can be so focused on just getting through the day. Hear me on this. Just getting through this week. Just getting through this pay cycle. Just getting through it that we miss out on God's blessings. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. Jesus Christ came to this earth so that life would be more than just surviving, than just getting through. He came to this earth so you'd be more blessed than that, so you'd have more purpose than that, so you'd have more joy than that. Let's remember that. That's a key thing. There's more to life than just simply surviving. God is active. He's all around. He's doing great things. He's involved and He's up to something, and as we said a few months ago, He's up to something good, and He's up to something good all the time. And this miraculous and blessed level of living includes you and me, this church, and this nation every single day. Another rhetorical question. What do you think is more likely the case? That God doesn't provide us with opportunities to be blessed, or we don't recognize the opportunities that God provides us to be blessed? That's an easy one. Get distracted, and it's a shame. Elizabeth and Zechariah were just a couple starting to get on up in years. They were nothing extraordinary about them. They were just normal people living normal lives, going about their day-to-day, maybe not expecting anything to change. They'd reached a point at their age where we've been praying for a son, and he hasn't come, and we're still praying, but I don't know that I'm necessarily expecting anything to change, is what they might say. People ask me from time to time to run into somebody I hadn't talked to in a while, what's new? And I say, well, I'm on this side of 40. It kind of gets in a rut, don't it? It kind of stays the same. They were in a spot where they maybe didn't expect a whole lot to change in their life. But one day, as Zechariah is just going through his priestly duties, steps in the very archangel of God, Gabriel, with a message directly from the throne. Gabriel, God's heard your prayer. That's an awesome thing. He steps in and does that. And the angel gives six, I count six anyway, specific blessings or words of encouragement to Zechariah here that I think applies to every single one of us. If we believe God's word and we believe God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and none of this has changed, I think as God's very own children, every single one of these applies to you and me. So let's live out Christmas in light of this. Number one, he says, do not be afraid, Zechariah, verse 13, your prayer has been heard. Your prayers are being heard. Your prayers are being answered. Your prayers are going to be heard. Your prayers are going to be answered. Remember that. The second one, he tells him, he says, God is showing and giving His grace to you. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. The name John means grace of God. In other words, God is giving you His grace. Recognize it. Call it what it is. Claim it. God is being gracious and has been. The third thing he's saying, and this is huge, he says to Zechariah, and he says to you and me, you will have joy, you will know joy, and you will know gladness. You will know these things. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Verse 14, he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He said, the next thing he says is, Zechariah, your child's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. That's a great promise. That's a great answer to prayer. And the next thing he says, your nation, Israel, by the way, it's going to see revival. Oh, do we need to hear this morning? Your nation will see revival. Not just hope for it, know that it's going to happen. It's been prayed for and it's been promised by God. He says here in verse 16, many of the people of Israel will He bring back to the Lord their God. Many people, there will be revival. And finally, He promised him that His son, John, would be the forerunner of the Messiah when He says, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So those are some promises that God gave Zechariah according to what he'd been praying for. And those are some promises that you and I can absolutely claim this morning and this week and this Christmas season. So this Christmas and all the time, let's get some more good advice from the story of Zechariah and Gabriel. With all that's going on in the world with people getting shot, with all that's going on in the world with people building bombs, with all that's going on in the world with people hating other people, with all that's going on in the world with the silliness on TV and the elections, with all that's going on in the world and in the other side of the world, with all that's going on in this world, wouldn't it be really good if this Christmas season, this month, wouldn't you like to truly, really experience the love and presence of the Almighty God? Wouldn't that be good? I believe it's there for us. I believe we just got to notice it and not be nonchalant about it. And I believe there's some help for us in that in God's Word right here this morning. Four quick things. Number one, live life on call for God. Live life on call for God. In verse 6, we're reading all along with the story, and it tells us about Elizabeth and Zechariah. In verse 6, it says, both of them were upright in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Amazing thing about Zechariah and Elizabeth, lest we hold them completely, or him at least, at fault for the way he's going to respond to Gabriel here in just a minute. Even though they weren't seeing a lot happening, and this is at the end of a period of 300 to 400 years of relative silence. No prophets, no miracles, no signs from the Lord. Lest we forget that, they're not seeing a whole lot happening. They are still living a righteous and right life before the Lord. They're still doing what's right, even though there doesn't seem to be a whole lot coming out of that. Still doing what's right. They're ready if the Lord gets ready to do something. There's no fanfare, nobody's watching, but that's exactly what they're doing. If you and I, listen, if you and I embark on every single day, tomorrow when you go to work or school, if you and I embark on every single week, if we embark on this Christmas season, on call for God, ready for whatever He might call me to do, ready for whatever He might lead me to undertake, ready to respond when that signal comes from Him, then we'll notice His hand, we'll notice His presence, and we'll notice His power on us. We live life on call for Him. Get up every morning with this attitude. God is going to do something good today. God's going to do something good today because that's what He does. I don't know how many of us expect that every day. God is going to do something good this week. God is going to do something good this Christmas. God is going to do something good this year. And I'm just ready to be a part of it. He's going to do something good in me. He's going to do something good through me. I'm ready for whatever you need. Let me tell you what the enemy would like and what he is accomplishing at a phenomenal rate. That when the pager goes off from the Lord Almighty, when the angel steps right in front of us, we'll go, who are you? When God's call comes on you and I, because we're not living life on call for God, we're day to day, we're busy and we're focused on everything else, we have to turn to God and say, I can't right now, I'm too busy. And so we miss out on something really good that could come. I had a conversation a few days ago about children's church. One of our church members was saying, why don't more people sign up to help in that? You don't have to teach, you don't have to prepare, you just go back there, you don't have to change diapers, they already handle that, you just walk down the hall with them. This person said to me, it's the easiest thing you can do. Plus, it's a lot of fun. It's a blessing. You get so much out of it. And the people that have signed up, well, God needs me to do that? Aye, Captain, I'll do that. And what happens? God touches that, and He uses that, and He does awesome things, and they recognize it. We miss out because we're not on call. We miss out on so much of what God could accomplish. And it's not just about what goes on at church either. It's about your job. It's about your school. It is about your life, your neighborhood, everything. Just be, God, what would you have me do today? Be attentive to that. Live life on call for God. Number two, don't let yourself go through the motions. Don't let yourself go through the motions of celebrating the Lord's coming. Don't let yourself just go through the motions of worshiping Jesus Christ. Don't let yourself go through the motions of anything. In verse 8, it says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before the Lord, before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go to the temple of the Lord and burn incense. At this point in time in Israel, there were about 20,000 priests, okay? About 20,000 of them. They were divided into 24 divisions, and it was his division's turn. And in that division, there would have been somewhere between 800 and 850 priests, most likely. And by lot, Zechariah was chosen to be the one to get to go to Jerusalem, to the temple, and burn the incense to the Lord. Seems simple. All he's going to do is burn something that smells good. But it was a high honor, and it was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of thing that any one priest would get to do this. And he's obviously, it's a big deal, and he gets to do it, but he's so focused on, okay, the people are out there praying, and we've got everything set up right, and I'm doing my duties, and we've got the incense burning. He's so focused on going through the motions of his duties in life that the Lord comes to him and begins to talk to him and bless him and tell him his prayers are being answered. And first of all, he doesn't recognize it, and second of all, he doesn't fully believe it. Don't just go through the motions of anything that you do. Do it as unto the Lord. My prayer every single Sunday as I'm going through my morning routine, my prayer every single service when you see me kneel down right here, one of the things that I pray for every single time is that we would never just go through the motions. Five songs, fellowship, shake hands, take up lines. All right, we got it all checked out. Good, we can go home. Never. But that it would matter, make a difference, be real, that God would work. And so as we're celebrating Christmas this year, let's not go through the motions. Don't get the lights up and the tree up and the presents wrapped and the meals cooked and eaten and all that and say, okay, we got Christmas checked off. Nah, let's not do that because we'll miss out on a lot. Amen? Please, let's not do that. We're going to have a Christmas program next week. They're learning their parts and they're doing great. They're saying them good and loud and that's great. They're even starting to stand still while they're reciting their lines. That's great. We're going to have a service. What I'm trying to say is we're going to have a program, and it's going to be a blessing, and you can see it at 11 o'clock or 6 o'clock next week. But my prayer is that none of it is just going through the motion, that we don't learn parts, recite them, everybody clap, and go home, but that God would use that very ministry to make a difference. That it would result in someone's salvation, someone's return to Him. That we would not just go through the motions of anything. That same thing can be said for any Christmas party, any family gathering, anything you do this month, the same thing can be said. Don't allow yourself to go there. Stay focused on the Savior and the reason. Number three, keep praying. Keep praying with persistence. Just don't give up that one bit. Verse 13, the angel of the Lord said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard." We see something about Zechariah. He's been praying for this, obviously. And it hasn't been coming, but he's continued to pray for a son, an heir. And the angel just wants him to know, God's heard you. And he's answering you now. We have a handful of men that meet here every Tuesday morning at 6:30. And we pray for the spiritual health and well-being and revival and unity of this church and for the lost among us, and that God would use this fellowship as a blessing to this community. And we pray it, and we pray it, and we pray it, and we pray it. And we may not see immediate response to that from the Lord. We may not see immediate evidence of it coming. But here's what I believe, all right? Jesus said, "He who keeps asking and seeking and knocking will hear and receive, and the door will be open." What Jesus said. Keep praying with persistence. Believe it come. There's an old saying, and some of you probably have heard it before, that I picked up from my dad, and I uttered it just last night. I was getting ready to print out my notes for this very sermon, and of course the printer is out of paper. How that happens every time, I don't know. I have gremlins in my house. They take the paper out of my printer, regardless of which. Spits out one and says, can't finish, ain't got no paper. So I start looking for paper, and I'm on the shelf, and I'm on the desk, and I'm looking everywhere, and I can't find it, I can't find it, I can't find it. Much like when I would be working somewhere with my father, would be out on a job site or in the shop, and would be hunting a tool to do whatever we're doing. It's usually something as simple as a hammer that you're using every 10 seconds, but you've set it down somewhere, and now you can't remember or figure out where in the world you put it. And he used to say when he'd finally find it, just like I did that paper, and I said out loud, it was this high on the shelf, okay, looking straight at me, nothing between my eyelids and that paper. I said, if it'd been a snake, it would have bit me. The answers to your prayers from the Almighty God. The blessings that you long for and want for yourself and your family, right there under your nose. Most, if not all the time, as you keep looking for it and asking for it, if it'd been a snake, it would have bit you. Keep praying. Keep asking. Keep knocking. Keep seeking. It's coming. Last one, believe that God's word is enough. Gabriel, the archangel, one who stands beside the throne of God, appears to Zechariah and says, you're going to have a son, name him John. Got that? And Zechariah turns to him and he says, prove it. He says, how can I be sure of this? How can I know that this is really going to happen? Now, look, first of all, I can't give him too hard of a time because I've done it. All right, I've had God make something pretty clear to me, if not extremely clear, and I tell him, Lord, can you just really hammer that point home? Can you make that abundantly clear? Can you do that for me? So I can't blame Zechariah too much. I mean, he turns to the angel of the Lord and says, can you give me some proof of that? See, because if I go home and I tell my wife that this is what I heard and it don't happen, it ain't going to go well for me. And Gabriel says, well, sure. Tell you what, it's going to happen. And since you asked such a knuckleheaded question, you're not going to be able to talk for 9 months till the baby gets here. And we look at that, justifiably so, I suppose, as punishment. How dare you question the Lord? But really, it was more to it than that. And maybe there was more to what I'm about to say than there was really punishment. He gave Zechariah exactly what he asked for. He gave him clarity. Lord, make it clear to me that this is you, that this is what you're doing, that this is what you want, make it clear. And not being able to talk for 9 months, that made it pretty doggone clear now, didn't it? It made it really clear. I don't have any doubt that Zechariah, 9 months later, said, you know what, looking back, I probably wouldn't have asked for that. That was a little more proof than I actually needed. At which point his wife might have said, well, it wasn't so bad. I picture her every other night going, well, as good as we go to that new fish place for supper, okay, that's where we're going. She's pregnant now, no need to make her cook. But he had clarity. And I'm not suggesting that anyone or everyone do this at any point, and certainly not at every point. But I will testify from my own personal experience. Every time, whether it was the right thing to do or not, because looking back, it was times when it wasn't. Every time that I have asked God, Lord, I hear what you're saying, can you make that clear? Can you reaffirm that so I'll know that I know and not doubt? Will you make that clear? Every time I've asked the Lord to make it clear to me, He has done it. Because what I'm asking for, Lord, show me Your will. I'm not asking You to give me what I want. You just let me know for sure that this is Your will. When I ask like that, He's always, always shown me. Never had the doubt. And that's been a tremendous blessing. Believe that God's Word is enough. Back in 2 Corinthians, and this is the last thing I'm going to say. We read the passage that Paul had written to the Corinthian church, and that special scripture that we do in the middle of the service is never additional. It's not just randomly chosen. It's always to complement what we're talking about on that particular day. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, and I'll just read verse 8. He said, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Here's what God's Word has told you. He's going to bless you. He has. He's going to. He will. Take Him at His Word. Amen? Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, we thank You for Your grace, Your forgiveness, And Lord, as the Christmas season embarks, we want to thank you for coming to us. Because that was what we so desperately needed. As a race, as individuals, and as a church, you supplied exactly what we needed. And Lord, we thank you for that. Our prayer this morning before you, the Almighty God, is that you would help us this Christmas season, as families, as individuals, and as a church, to not go through the motions, but to trust and believe in you completely, to keep praying with persistence, and to live life each and every single day on call for you, so that we might recognize and take part in the blessings that wait for us to your good name when we do just that. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that you have spoken to in a way that they recognize their need for your presence in their life, if there be any man, woman, or child in this room today who knows that they are a sinner before you, a holy and perfect God, and need the forgiveness that only you can give, if there's anyone here this morning that doubts where they'd go or where they'd spend eternity if something were to happen to them, I pray that they would come and receive the very purpose for which you came, and that was to wash them clean of their sins. Only you can do that, because only you died on the cross for us. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you're going to be. In Jesus' precious name.